Now, back to a couple of guys who thought Lassie could never really do any of that stuff anyway, and that Timmy was the brains of the operation. It's the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show on 1320 WILS.
We're back here on the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show, and in this segment, we have with us in the studio Mike Morgan, who is the owner of Mid-Michigan Kennels. Welcome back to the show, Mike.
Morning, Lee.
Oh, it's my pleasure to have you back here. Mike, in the first segment, I set up what's going on in Lansing, and we had a chance to chat about it, the issue of dog parks, and there's a major change that's taking place, and a lot of people in Lansing have been back and forth as to if it's a positive thing or a negative thing for the dog park to start charging and have an electronic pass system to allow people in, because the people who are opposed to it are saying, A, it's a lot of money, and B, isn't it paid for by our taxes? But the people who are for it are saying that it's a positive thing, because by having that electronic pass, it's going to allow for a level of control over who's bringing their animals in there. Are they properly immunized and licensed? And it's also going to create some money for maintaining the dog park. What's your view on the whole issue?
Well, I'm not real sure what they're trying to accomplish with the pass. And when you fill out the paperwork and apply for it and pay the money, is it just a matter of walking in and filling out a form and paying the $40? Or is there somebody actually going to temperament test the dog? Is somebody going to review vaccination records and those kind of things? If, in fact, that's what their intent is, I think it's a good thing. I've seen a lot of dogs coming out of the dog parks, the one we're speaking of specifically, that their dog went in there with no issues and somebody else's dog attacked their dog. And now their dog is showing some signs of being defensive because of the behavior that it saw from another dog, or it's the experience it had with that dog.
Well, and that's really what one of the fundamental issues is with dog parks in general. A lot of people understand the benefits of having a situation where your dog is off leash and able to run around and be at full speed, play with other dogs, and that's great. But the problem is you have to be in control of your dog at all times, and that's harder to do when they're off leash, isn't it?
I think what people need to understand is that control of their dog is their ultimate responsibility. It's part of being a responsible pet owner. Whether they're walking them down the street on a leash because there's leash laws, or whether they're in a dog park and they're able to cut them loose and let them run like that. But ultimately, it's the owner's responsibility to have that control. And I think that people struggle with that. With that ability to have control. The means that are available to them are many. It's just a matter of tapping into them and figuring out which one's going to work best for them and their dog.
Well, and I think that it's also a matter of understanding your dog, because a lot of animals have certain instincts that are bred right into them. When you've got a herding breed, when that dog gets around other animals, its natural tendency is to herd them. And for someone who might not be experienced with a herding breed, they see that behavior and they immediately begin to panic because they're thinking there's some kind of a dog aggression that's going on. Then there's other instances where there's real dog aggression going on, but they may not actually recognize it because they're just not familiar with the different breeds that they're experiencing at the dog park.
I think a lot of dog behavior based, you know, based on what you just said, a lot of behavior people see that is always labeled aggressive. And many times that's not what's being distributed or being displayed by the dog. It's just a misread by people. But ultimately, you know, you got to understand the type of dog you have. If you've got a small dog and it's a very quick and fast and wiry dog, that could excite prey drive in certain breeds, and they're going to want to chase that little dog. And again, that's not aggressive. It's just excited prey drive, and the dog's going to want to pursue. But the bottom line is the owner has to know what their dog is showing them and know how to control it so that the other dog owner doesn't have a fear or have an injury to their dog because of some of this behavior gets out of hand.
Well, the other issue too, Mike, is that when you're in that situation, it's a real shame to have a very well-behaved dog who then develops some of these bad habits. as a result of being exposed to another dog's bad habits. Because one thing I've observed with my two dogs is they definitely have a tendency to learn from one another. They see what the other one does, and next thing you know, I'm seeing where behaviorally they're doing the same thing. So a lot of time, that's where the trouble can really begin, even though you didn't have that trouble when you arrived at the dog park.
Absolutely. And I'm hoping that what their intent is to have somebody who's qualified do some kind of monitoring, do some kind of a temperament test of the dog. You know, vaccinations, that's critical. It's always been one of the things I always wondered is how they know the people who are coming and going from these parks, how do they know whether the dog's current on rabies or there's nobody there to check any of that when you walk in and out of there. And, you know, you can take a dog that, you know, has questionable temperament, and you take it to that dog park and you cut it loose and you've basically given it carte blanche to terrorize a bunch of really good dogs. So I'm hoping their intent is to look at the temperament and the level of control the owners have, not just collect $40 and give them a card to get them in the gate.
Right. Well, and one of the other things, too, that's going to be a direct result from this is that because of the fact that people have to pay this amount of money, a lot of times what's going to happen is the people who are regular users of the dog park are going to be the ones who tend to be there, as opposed to having people who are there for the first time or a one-time only type situation who may tend to be less familiar with the dog behavioral issues and these other problems, because in my experience, being in dog parks, when you have certain people who are there pretty regularly, the dogs learn to play with each other, and it really creates a very, almost a fun situation, because you get to see dogs interacting on a regular basis, whereas it's usually these one-time only strange dogs that get introduced to the setting that tend to create the problems.
Yeah, I've talked before on the show about socializing, and I guess along the lines of what you're saying is the people who are going to be regular visitors, that $40 is a bag of quality dog food. I mean, if you think about it, I know some people are saying that's a lot of money, but it's once a year. It's one bag of a quality dog food. But what they're going to get out of that, I think, is going to be it's going to be huge, because if you get a new pup, you got a new 8-week or 10-week old puppy, and you take it to the dog park, it's going to learn to deal with a large number of dogs. And as that dog matures and gets older, you're not going to see some of the fearfulness that the puppy who was just taken home and kept in the house or in the backyard solo might show. And again, like you said, the people who are regular visitors to dog parks, they get it. They understand that there's a certain set of ground rules that their dog and they need to follow. And like you said, that's called a dog park, and parks are supposed to be fun. They're not supposed to be stressful for either the dog or the owner. So hopefully this will help with that.
Well, that is the hope that will come about from the whole thing. Now, Mike, one of the big issues that I've learned over time, and I'd like to get your opinion on, is the methods of control when the animal is off leash. Because early on, when my dog was a puppy, we started taking him to a dog park. And because I have herding breeds, my dogs were basically taught how to wear an electronic collar. And we learned how to control the dogs with those electronic collars. And I've got to tell you, it's really been incredible for my wife and I because of the level of control that we've been able to keep off the dog. Now, I'm not saying that's the way for everybody, because candidly, there is a fairly good amount of money that you have to pay to buy the collar originally, but there are other methods. So why don't you talk a little bit about how people can learn to control their dogs when they are off leash and they need to be in control of them?
Well, it starts with basic obedience. I mean, you've got to have a dog that understands that you're in charge, that you're the leader, and that they're the follower. And that comes from starting out with basic things like sit down, stay, and come when called. And you and I have talked at different times about electronic collars, and I'm not in favor of them with 99% of the people who use them. And the reason is this. They're used incorrectly. I think it's a wonderful tool if somebody knows how to use it properly. Unfortunately, what I see is people go out and they've got behavioral issues in their dog and they think this is going to be a quick fix with the electronic collar. And it's not a quick fix. The person who is doing the training of the dog needs to understand what they want to accomplish and how dogs learn. And unless you understand that, all you're going to do is make a lot of your problems worse by putting that collar on. People buy those, they crank them up, and they're just zapping and frying their dog. I've had numerous dogs come out to the kennel, and the dog walks around like it's hearing voices. I mean, it's neurotic, and it's flinching and twitching, and it just doesn't quite understand when is that going to hit me again, and where is it coming from, and why am I getting it? You know, in dog training, timing is everything. And I think that that the improper use of that collar at the wrong level of stimulation is huge. I think that the timing of when the stimulation is given, if it's wrong, it's huge. There are a lot of benefits to an electronic collar if the person knows how to use them and has been trained. I think I've told you a couple times, I wish that before you were allowed to walk out the door with one of those from a retailer, you were required to go through a certain number of hours of training before you could put it on your dog.
Well, and you have said that to me before, and that's the thing that I really like in the second half of the show about the training that they do out at Joey's Pet Outfitters, because they've put together Muttley Manners, which is just a tremendous training program for it, and because they incorporate that with the electronic collars, I've seen the behavior of their dogs, and I can absolutely say, as well as I think my dogs have adapted to it, I can say with certainty their dogs are much better trained than even mine are, and it does make a difference. But let's take a step back, Mike, for a second. What can people do, assuming they don't have an electronic collar, they're at the dog park with their dog, and the dogs are running around loose, and all of a sudden there's a stimulation. There's another dog or something that gets their attention. How do they keep that control without having that leash to be able to give a pull at a choke chain or something that typically is done in controlling the animal?
Well, it's all in the conditioning. If you start out at the basic level with a new dog and it learns on a leash with corrections that this is, when I say this, if you don't do it, there's a consequence. And when I say this and you do it, there's praise. So there's a positive consequence. I mean, the bottom line is positive behavior given positive reinforcement, the dog wants to repeat the behavior. Negative behavior given strong negative reinforcement, the dog won't want to repeat that behavior again. I mean, that's the foundation for all of it. And I think what people need to understand is that this is a step building process with the dog. And if you take your time with each one of the steps, I just graduated, or I'm going to graduate an intermediate obedience class. And what we do in that 8 weeks is we take the owner from the end of the basic on leash 8 weeks to the off leash at the end of the next 8 weeks in the intermediate. And there's a slow process that's done each week that builds us to the point where the leash is gone. And we're doing this with 8 to 12 dogs in a class. And last night I have a dachshund in that class, and I won't name him because I don't want him to sue me. But the little rascal decided that he had had enough for today, and he was going to make the big sweeping circle around all his other classmates, going, "Nah, nah, I'm running free, come get me." But nobody's dogs broke to chase him, and then he just kind of hunkered down the grass and looked at everybody like, "Why isn't anybody chasing me?" You could just tell he was disappointed. But it's a step building process to get that control. You just don't take a dog from sit down, heel, and stay, and then take it to a dog park and expect it when it takes off another dog and you call for it to come running back. You've got to build that leadership in that bond between you and the dog's understanding that when you tell me something, I have to listen. And it takes time.
Well, and that's one of the fundamental lessons that I think most people may not really think about. They get a new dog or they rescue a dog, and one of the first things they think is, hey, let's have fun. Let's just go to a dog park. And the thing that they haven't done is establish that level of control and leadership before they go into that setting. And like you've talked about, it's a process. And one of the things that I've experienced that I think by having this pass system it might correct is where these people do immediately just run to the dog park. By having to pay for it, maybe they'll give some thought about the fact that, oh, before I necessarily want to go there, maybe I should make sure that my dog is properly trained, is prepared, so I can have that level of control.
Hey, you get a new puppy, and there's nothing wrong with taking that puppy on leash to a dog park and letting him socialize. And but you've got that line between you and the pup, the young dog there, that you can keep your control, so he can't take off on you, he can't run off with a couple other dogs because you have none of that established. You know, there's nothing wrong with starting at that level with the puppy and then going through some basic obedience training and then maybe the next level up, and then maybe the next step would be the e-collar, the electronic training collar. It's just unfortunate that people don't see the step building process. I mean, stimulus, response, reward. I mean, that's a real, I do that when I do a program in schools. I put that up on, I ask the kids if they're good at math, and then I'll put up the S plus R equals R, you know, and see if they can figure out what that math problem is. And it's the foundation for everything you're going to do with a dog. The dog gets a certain stimulus. It needs to know what the expected response is. And if it gives that response, it gets a reward. It's all got to be the foundation for everything you do with your dog.
Right. Well, and it's just so important to make sure that as part of that training process that you learn both through your voice as well as through the things that you do, that you build these habits so that no matter what environment you're in, even outside your home environment or the classroom, the dogs have to be able to control it. And just like the dachshund you're talking about who wanted to become the king of the
clown.
Yeah, exactly. And you'll get those dogs in the dog park setting. And that's why it's so critical that you teach your dog to be able to be in your control, even in that setting.
No matter where they are or what's going on around them, they need to learn that they have to behave.
Yeah, no, there's no question. It's important. Mike, we're going to ask you if you can hold with us through the break. And in the next segment, we're going to have with us Derek Druschel, the owner of Joey's Pet Outfitters. And we're going to continue our conversation about the issue of the dog parks. But more than that, I would like to have Derek also give his comments about the e-collar training and some of the things that people can do to keep control of their dogs when they are off leash. So that's going to be after the break, right here on the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show on 1320 WILS.